Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and verse 4. There we read, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. This parable represents the gospel offer and how that offer is received by those who hear it. And ever since the free offer of the gospel has been sounded in the ears of men, some have received it, while others have rejected it. And there were those in the congregation to whom the Savior was speaking that had never embraced gospel truth, that never embraced the salvation that was offered in the gospel, but rather they rejected it and rejected the one who offered that salvation. If you look there at verse 45 of the previous chapter, we read, And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. They wanted to lay hands on him. They had rejected the Lord Jesus. And the words that the Lord Jesus had been speaking were for the Pharisees far too personal, because they deemed that the Lord was speaking to them. So in almost every congregation, there are those that are found there who have never claimed Christ as their Savior. They have never received the gift of salvation. They've never received the message of the gospel into their heart. Instead, like the Pharisees, they've rejected it, and they've rejected the Christ of the gospel. They've never responded to the call of the gospel, or the claims of the gospel, or the Christ of the gospel. And it is to those very people that the Lord Jesus was speaking that day when he told this parable. It is a parable about a wedding feast, which a king had arranged for his son, and about those who were invited to come to the wedding. It's a very simple story. And this wedding feast reminds us of another wedding feast, which will take place in heaven. And that wedding is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We read about it there in Revelation chapter 19, in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Mark the words. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. That great marriage supper will be held one day. And I wonder if everyone that is gathered here tonight, I wonder, will everyone be there when the last invitation has been given? When the last guest is brought into the wedding, I wonder, will every one of us here tonight and of this congregation be seated at the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb? I want us to look at this parable then in the light of that marriage supper. And what we have here, first of all, is the king and his invitation. We're told that the king sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. Verse 3. A king sent forth his servants. And first of all, we note here the person of this king. He had a son, and this king arranged the wedding feast for his son in his honor. So we see that this invitation went out, was sent out by a king. And that invitation was given to the king's servants. And they took the invitation out to those who had been bidden to the wedding. Now I believe that if we received an invitation to a wedding and it was the son of the king who was being married and it was his wedding feast, if we received an invitation from a king, I believe that each one of us would do all in our power to be at that wedding feast. After all, it's not every day you get an invitation at the hand of a king to attend the wedding ceremony and feast and supper of his son. And yet here we have guests who were bidden to attend this wedding feast, and they were invited by a king. It was the king's invitation. That is what happens every time a minister stands behind the sacred desk with an open Bible and preaches the gospel. And preaches the gospel to sinners. That minister is the servant of the king, and he's delivering the king's invitation. And I have an invitation tonight given to me by the king. It has the king's seal upon it. And the king has asked me to deliver this invitation. And all tonight are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're invited to that marriage supper. And as I said, when you receive an invitation at the hand of a king, surely we would make every effort to be there. And sinners are given that invitation every day, every time they hear the gospel. And yet, instead of making every effort to accept that invitation and be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb, they seem to spend more time rejecting that invitation. finding ways how they can avoid being present at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They don't want to accept the invitation. They don't accept the invitation, then they'll not be at the marriage supper in heaven. The person of this king gave this invitation to his servants. An invitation had to do with his son. We are told a certain king made a supper for his son. The marriage feast was held in honor of the king's son. And of course the king's son would be honored with the presence of his guests, those that had been invited. They would be honored, or he would be honored by their presence. And it is equally true that he would be dishonored by their absence, by their refusal to accept the invitation. You look again at that one of those verses in Revelation 19. You'll see that the Son was honored, in this case the Lamb, was honored in the presence of the guests there at the marriage supper. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. Give honor to him. Who would give honor to him? Those that would be present and will be present at the marriage supper. Therefore, if the sinner accepts the invitation, they will be present at that marriage supper, and that will honor the Son. That will honor Christ. But the sinner dishonors Christ. It's a terrible dishonor to reject the offer of the gospel. Christ is insulted. It's a terrible dishonor to the Lord Jesus when sinners turn their back on the gospel and say no to the invitation. And yet sinners do it every day. Our ministers, when they come together for the week of prayer, some stage of the week of prayer, there's time given for prayer requests. And the ministers who will ask the brethren to pray for certain individuals who come to their church, and they say they're not saved and they've been coming for years. They've been given invitation after invitation after invitation, and as yet they haven't accepted the invitation. And every time they refuse the invitation to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, they dishonor Christ. They've dishonored him time without number. Not only do you have here the person, you have also the preparation. If you look carefully at these words which the Lord Jesus spoke, and he told the story about the king, the marriage supper for his son, you look closely, you'll see that the king was the one who prepared the marriage supper. He was the one who was involved in everything that was done. For it says, he sent forth, or rather verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage supper, or a marriage for his son. He made it. That speaks to us of his work. And then verse 4, it says again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, all things are ready, come on to the marriage. The king did it all. No one else contributed to this marriage supper. Here you have the king's work. He made a marriage for his son. The king made the marriage supper, and when the guests were invited, all they had to do was come. You organize a dinner and you invite people along, they will usually say, do you want me to bring something? Do you want me to help out and bring something? Well, there's no mention here of the guest having to bring anything. Why? Because the king had done everything. The work was done. He didn't need any help from anyone else. The work was done. The work was finished. My, that ought to lift a great burden off the hearts of sinners. That ought to lift a great burden. Because how many today believe that they have to work their way to heaven? How many today believe that they must work and work and work to gain God's favor and to be permitted into heaven and to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, glory to the Lord. You don't need to work to gain entrance into heaven. Why? Because the work is done. The work's done. And if the king sent out the invitation saying, all things are ready, that means the work was a finished work. For a sinner to sit down at the marriage supper, they must come, accept the invitation, accept that the work is done, and rest on that finished work, the finished work of Christ. And when they rest, they're all upon that finished work, then they will be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The work's done. Notice not only the work of the king, but the wealth of the king. The servants were to invite the guests and to tell them this. This was the message. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are now ready. Now the servants were to go out with this invitation. And they were to invite the guests. The oxen had been killed. The fatlings were killed. The dinner had been prepared. Now that tells me that every guest who would sit down at that dinner would be satisfied. There would be enough there on that table to satisfy the hunger of every guest. And you know what Jesus Christ has to offer today? When sinners come and receive Christ, what they find in Jesus Christ will satisfy their every need. He is the manna from heaven. The manna met the need of the children of Israel all the days of their wanderings in the wilderness. They never wanted for a thing. They were satisfied. And Jesus Christ is the manna from heaven. And when a sinner receives Christ, that sinner will be satisfied. I have never, in all my years of being a Christian, and that's over 30 years, I've never heard one person, not one, ever say that they're dissatisfied with Christ. I've never heard one say that they're sorry that they ever came to Christ, or they regret the day they became a Christian. I've never met one. Neither have you, I'm sure. Indeed, all who have received the Lord Jesus, everyone can testify that Jesus Christ satisfies. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and everlasting joy. The Lord Jesus found in me. But look again at this. Here's the marriage supper, marriage feast. The oxen has been killed, the fatlings killed, everything is ready. And a great number of guests have been invited. Now that tells me that it would need to be someone as rich as a king to be able to put on a spread like this and a feast like this. Someone who is rich. You think of that in the light of what Christ did. Because no one else but Jesus Christ could make such an offer to sinners. Come, for all things are now ready. I have done the work. I have paid the price. I have covered the cost. You come and you'll be satisfied. And only Christ could have done all of that. He was rich. He had rich blood flowing through his veins. That blood was not tainted by sin in any way. Sinless blood. And the Lord Jesus, when he paid the price of man's salvation, he shed his blood. He shed that pure, sinless blood. He was the only one who could have done that. He was the only one who could have paid that price. He was the only one who could have covered the cost. And he did it with the shedding of his own blood. And he who was rich became poor. And there, in that shedding of his blood, it shows us how poor Jesus Christ became. Because when he shed his blood and he gave his life, he gave his everything. He had nothing else to give. For the blood that flowed through his veins was blood that did not flow through anyone else's veins. And yet that was the price he paid, and that was the blood that he shed. And only those who are washed in the blood will be able to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what it says there in Revelation 19. And to her was granted she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Only those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb will be able to sit at the marriage supper. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no cleansing. There is no forgiveness. There is no pardon. There is no salvation. There is no place in heaven without the shedding of blood and that blood being applied. Notice also the plea. We're told that the king sent out his servants, tell them, verse 4, which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. King gave instructions to the invited guests, all things are ready, come, come, come unto the marriage. And for the sinner, the gospel invitation is the same. Come, for all things are ready. No price is mentioned, no cost. Just come unto the marriage. Nothing is said about bringing anything. No, just come unto the marriage. Don't wait until tomorrow. No, come unto the wedding. It's the same tonight. The plea is still the same. Come unto the wedding. Yea, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, some people believe that they have to wait and prepare themselves, make themselves ready before they can come to Christ. I don't read that anywhere in the Bible. We were talking there this morning, the message about the revival in Wales in 1907. And the hymns that were sung during that revival. And one of the hymns that was sung repeatedly throughout the revival was a revival hymn, really. It was a hymn by Charlotte Elliot. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Come just as I am. That's what was said that night that Charlotte Elliot could see it. She was an invalid. Sat in a wheelchair. And she believed that Christ wouldn't have her because of her physical disability. She sat in the meeting. Near the end of the meeting, the preacher said, you can come to Christ, and you can come just as you are. She said she never had heard the invitation of the gospel presented in that way before. Just as you are. And that night, Charlotte Elliot came just as she was. Gospel invitation today is just the same. It's sinner can come just as you are. Come, ye heavy laden, bruised and broken by the fall. If you tarry, till you're better, you will never come at all, because you can't make yourself better. You will never come at all. Not the righteous, not the righteous. Sinners, Jesus came to call. Came to call sinners. And the call is, come. It's as simple as that. Come. And I will in no wise cast you out. We have the King and his invitation. Then the King and his indignation. The wedding invitations went out, but they who were bidden did not come. They didn't come. They didn't accept the King's invitation. And so we're told in verse 7 that he was wroth, and when the King heard thereof, he was wroth. There's his indignation. He was filled with wrath. Because, first of all, his invitations had been rejected. The invitation to the wedding had been rejected. And we are told there in verse 3, he sent forth his servant, determined rejection of the King and the gracious invitation that he had extended to them. They would not come. And I'm afraid there are many today and are just as determined not to come to the Lord Jesus. They are determined never, never to bow the knee to King Jesus. They are determined. They will never become a Christian. And whenever you examine their behavior and look at their determination, you're only led to the one conclusion, and that is they're more determined to get into hell than they are into heaven. They're determined. They're determined they'll not take Christ as their King. They say, we will not have this man to rule over us. They're more determined, it would appear anyway, to get into the bottomless pit and to get into glory. They will not come. Then you'll notice something else here. The readiness of the King. This readiness is seen on the part of the King by his sending out of his servants again. There in verse 3, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Verse 4, again. He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come! They're being invited again. This time he sends out other servants. And there are men and women and young people today, and they've listened to a variety of preachers. And all those preachers, the servants of the King, they have had the same message and the same invitation that's gone out, yet the sinner still refuses to come. Does this not speak to us here of the grace of this King? first invitation was refused. We have that word again. Other servants went out and took the invitation again. They were asked on two occasions to come to the wedding. Both occasions they refused. And there are young people, there are men and women, and they have had a number of preachers preach the gospel to them. And year after year after year, they've been invited to come. They've been invited to come. They have refused, and yet the Lord in grace the next week has given the invitation again, and the week after, and the week after. One of those souls that got saved in that, through that funeral service I was telling you about last week was a man in his 70s. He had heard the gospel from his childhood days. I wonder how many invitations he was given. I wonder how many preachers he heard over those 70 years. And every time he refused the invitation, every time he dishonored the Lord, but the Lord was merciful. Gracious. Last Saturday, week ago, the King of Heaven extended to that man yet another invitation. This time, he accepted it. And we'll see him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He'll be there. Oh, what grace! What mercy. Then we see here that even though the king was ready to extend the invitation a second time, we note that the response was the same. In fact, it was worse than the first time. First time, we are told, they would not come. Then the second time, verse 5, they made light of it. They made light of it. And went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. These things were more important. They made light of it. That's what caused the king to be filled with indignation. Because they made light of it. They made light of all that he had done. They made light of the price, the cost of the feast. They made light of him as a king. They made light of the invitation and of the son. They would not come, and they made light of it. And we are told that the king was filled with wrath. You know, I believe that's perhaps what causes the Lord to be angry, and the Spirit of God to be so grieved, is the fact that sinners make light of Calvary. They make light of the cross work. They make light of the shed blood. They make light of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And they turn their back upon these things as if they're not even worth a second thought. And the king, we're told, was filled with wrath. And that brings us to the retribution. We have been told about those who would not come, and then they made light of it. Now we read about those who went a little further in their rejection of the king and his son. For we read in verse 6, and the remnant. Verse 5, they made light of it. Some went their ways to their farms and to their merchandise, and the remnant. Some went a bit further. They didn't just make light of it. They didn't just refuse to come. They went a step further, and we're told they entreated the servants spitefully and they slew them. And you'll always find that, you'll always find some who will go a bit further in the rejection of Christ. They'll go a bit further than the man beside them in the meeting. Go a bit further. Oh, how far are people prepared to go in their rejection of the Lord Jesus? They slew the servants, treated them spitefully. And when the king heard thereof, verse 7, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. I know some people would say, oh, that's a wee bit over the top, do you not think? You don't think it's a bit over the top? Do you not think the king went a bit too far? In fact, it says there that when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent his armies. The word for armies there is the word for men of war. He sent his men of war. Such was his indignation. You know, the man, the woman who rejects Jesus Christ has declared war on God. God has declared war on him. And God one day will pour out his wrath because he has been offended. Some would say the king went a little bit too far, and they think that about the God of heaven. Say, oh God. God would never have a soul go into a burning hell. God, a God of love, would never allow that to happen. It's the way they talk. People who say that do not know a thing about the serious nature of sin, and they know nothing about the holiness of a just God. Yes, God will declare war on the Christ rejecters. What did this king do? He burned their city. Reference here to the fire. And the sinner who rejects Jesus Christ has nothing more to look forward to than a burning hell. Finally, and very briefly, of the king and his instructions. Verse 8, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore, here's his instructions, into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. It wasn't an empty seat. There'll not be an empty seat in heaven. Not one. For all the Lord's guests, all those whom he has invited, will be there. All his guests will be at the wedding. The king said, go therefore into the highways and bid as many as ye shall find. Servants went out into the highways, and they gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. You wouldn't expect it to have seen people of the highways to have been at the wedding of a king's son. You would expect to find the affluent, the rich, and the famous. But we find here that the servants went out with the invitation to the ordinary people of the highways, the good and the bad, to whosoever will. And they came and sat down at the marriage supper for the king's son, and the wedding was furnished with guests. That great day that we have read about in Revelation 19, that wedding will be furnished with guests. It said there will not be an empty seat. All the redeemed of the Lord will be there. I trust that all who are here tonight will be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our God and gracious Father, we praise Thee for the gospel invitation, the free offer of the gospel to sinners. I have said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we bless thee, Lord, that when that great day comes, there will be those there from every tongue and every nation and every people under heaven. We thank thee, O God, for the day that many of us here are given the invitation to come to Christ. And the Lord enabled us to come. We praise Thee, O God, that we will be seated at that marriage supper of the Lamb, adorned with a bride for her husband, dressed in pure linen, white, for linen is the righteousness of the saints. O Lord, we pray that we'll all be there. All who are here tonight will be there in glory. O God, write the word upon our hearts this evening. Bring glory to Thy name through it. And now, Lord, be with us as we leave the house of God. Thank Thee for bringing us to the meeting. Now, Lord, bring us safely home. And those who have further to go, be with them, Lord, in the highway. And keep Thy good hand upon us, Lord, until we meet again. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.